We need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Choices to you. We offer a large variety of restaurants to choose from. Hot food delivered to your home or office. Whether you like Italian, Mexican, Thai, wings, or burgers, at Choices to You, we have you covered for lunch or dinner. Choices to You. Visit us online at choicestoyou.com or call 678-691-4541 in North Fulton or 678-765-8989 in Gwinnett. Eat out without going out.
Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio at North Point Executive Suites, it's time for North Fulton Business Radio. North Fulton Business Radio is presented by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to North Fulton Business Radio here on Business Radio X from the Roswell Infinity Studio. Been a crazy busy week.
It's been crazy, and you have to double clutch to remind yourself where you are, right? Because you're all over the place.
Well, we just moved into our new location in Gwinnett this week.
That's so, right.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations on that. I can't wait to get over there and see the studio.
It looks really great. And it looks as good as this place here in Alpharetta because we actually have windows now over there for the first time.
Let the sun shine in.
Yes, we got out of the closets, as Stephen Julian likes to say.
Well, you know, we have, oh boy.
Yeah, yeah. When he said that, I gave him a little bit of a hard time.
Now you made me double clutch. So we've got a birthday to celebrate here today. Not among our guests, but you know, this is our 25th show. So that's the kind of a milestone for North Fulton Business Radio.
So is that a birthday or an anniversary?
Well, you know, it's a monumental number, right?
Okay.
So it's a good number.
25 shows.
25 shows.
Wow, we're still together.
I've lasted this long, but you've tried to fire me several times and I've lasted this long.
All right, now you're starting to sound like Stephen Julian. You're not going anywhere.
Well, at least I'm out of the closet, right?
Yeah, and with that, let me introduce our guest, and then we'll let you maybe read something for one of our sponsors so you don't, bite your tongue again. Let's say we've got Kenneth Davis. He is the North Georgia Region President for Renaissance Bank with us in the studio. Tara Lombele from Rev Demand and Brad Camp from Talos Consulting here in the studio as well. Before we talk to our first guest, let's take care of a little business, John. Yep. Oh, and by the way, you're John Ray. I never introduced you. I'm Mike Salmond.
I don't blame you for not introducing me after the way we got that going.
Well,
right?
we're out of the closet now, yeah, so let's go ahead and get to business.
Let's get it going. So Roswell Infinity, they are one of the original Infinity dealerships in the country. They aim to provide top-notch customer service and are dedicated to providing a stress-free environment, whether purchasing or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at RoswellInfinity.com or follow Roswell Infinity on Facebook or on Twitter.
All right, John, our first guest is Kenneth Davis. He is the North Georgia Region President for Renaissance Bank, probably wondering what he got himself into right now. Ken, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you.
Tell us all about Renaissance Bank and how many locations and what you guys specialize in.
Thank you. Renaissance Bank was founded 112 years ago in 1904 in Tupelo, Mississippi.
You don't look a day over 90.
Well, thank you. It's that good living in the South, maybe. I don't know.
But there you go.
They've had a long history of serving small businesses and business owners as well as consumers. They came to Georgia in 2010 through two FDIC-assisted transactions. One was Crescent Bank, American Trust, in 2011. And later in the year, or 2015, we acquired Heritage Bank out of Albany, Georgia. And just recently, in spring of 2016, we acquired Keyworth Bank in Johns Creek. Today, we across the state, we have, say, 38 branches up here in the North Fulton Metro Atlanta market. We have 18 branches. So we're focused on knowing our customers, understanding them, and trying to provide financial services that meet their needs instead of us trying to sell a product.
You're obviously doing something right, 112 years in business. So talk about your mission, your core values.
Yeah, one of the things that we take great pride on is serving those customers. One of the stories that I heard about the history of the company was while it fell during the Depression, like a lot of banks, the ownership back then, the leadership, did work after they got reestablished after the Depression to repay all the depositors that had lost money in the crash. And it took them to about the mid-1940s, but they repaid all the principal that was on deposit as well as the interest from the Depression up to the 1940s. So I thought that was a great story. And today, you know, renaissance means constant renaissance. So we're always trying to be constant in the marketplace, trying to recreate and meet the needs of the customer. Our vision is to be the financial service advisor and provider of choice in each community we serve. We look to understand that client. We look to take care of our employees. We want to give a reasonable return to our shareholders. And we also want to invest in the communities that we support, live, work, and play, our employees.
So, Ken, you've got obviously a lot of local presence in Georgia, but you're part of a pretty good size company that has a footprint across the Southeast. So that seems like kind of the best of both worlds, maybe for small businesses. You've got a lot of resources, but local presence.
That's right, John. We do. We take that community bank feel. I know we're publicly traded and across five states in the Southeast, Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. We still want to deliver those products and services in a community bank setting. We like to sit across the table from the business owner or the decision maker and provide a solution, whether it be from a loan, credit process, a deposit, or treasury management. We have the experts that understand their products, but also listen to the customer.
So talk a little bit, though. Small businesses are kind of our bread and butter in terms of our listeners, right? So talk a little bit about how you differentiate yourself with the small business customer and maybe the kind of small business customer that you particularly serve well.
Well, I tell my bankers and that our money is as green as everybody else's. What we have to do is set ourselves apart based on service. Our products are similar. We're not chasing the big publicly traded companies that are nationally syndicated or are nationally traded on the stock markets, but we want the local business owner, the ones that we can sit across the table. We have, again, the sophisticated treasury management products, the access to investment products, whether it be for retirement services, 401ks, those type nature products that the small business owner is looking for. That we'll bring in that expert that's on part of our team and listen and then try to match up that service with what their need is.
You talked, Ken, about your growth and buying out some other banks. And as you grow, how do you balance, staying the essence of the small bank where you keep that service and everything and the personalization as you grow, though? Because I know that's important.
It's a challenge. You're right, Mike. But one of the things, while we may be headquartered in Tupelo, Mississippi, they've empowered all of us locally to act as if we're the local ownership and make local decisions. And I think whether that be from a pricing standpoint or a credit approval, it's all locally made decisions. Sure, we have committees and we have processes. We're a regulated industry, but that power is with us as a local decision maker.
Talk about the state of banking right now in Georgia and some of the other challenges that you face.
Well, certainly the local economy drives how the local community bank is doing. Metro Atlanta is back. I'm sure you all read that in the newspaper. Home building is back. Commercial construction is up. There's an indicator in the Metro Atlanta area that you count the number of cranes that are going up, and that'll give you an indication of how well the economy is doing. So we certainly know that's happening up here in North Fulton with the development around Avalon and some other announcements. Some of the challenges we face, there's certainly a regulatory burden placed on us by the FDIC, the CFPB, and still the Dodd-Frank Act. But we know we're dealing with those. That's just part of the cost of doing business. The interest rate environment is challenging. While it's good from a low inflation standpoint, it does make it harder for banks to earn money. But again, we're figuring that out. As every business owner has to figure out what makes, money in their business. And then the other, not really a challenge, but an opportunity is this term called fintech, which is where technology and financial services are kind of bridging, coming together. We've got to figure out as an industry which one of those technology products or services make sense that we can leverage, serve our customers, and still get a return for.
So, Ken, talk a little bit about Renaissance involvement in the community, which I know has been significant and is, as is for you personally, because you're involved in a lot of different aspects of the community, Greater North Fulton Chamber, et cetera. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we certainly believe in giving back to the community, and it starts not just from a financial standpoint, but from a time management and time commitment. We have our bankers that are involved in the community. They live, work, and play with the same folks that they see in the bank lobby every day, or they'll see them at church or see them on the ball fields with their kids. And many of our bankers are involved in a leadership role with different nonprofit organizations. We support just a variety of them across our footprint, maybe the March of Dimes, Boy Scouts, American Cancer Society here locally. We support the Homestead Organization, Senior Services North Fulton. So we try to give back in that way. Our employees, even on a weekly basis, will contribute $5 to pay into a pot where they get to wear blue jeans on Friday, a little more casual environment. And occasionally they'll break out a football jersey of their home favorite college team or professional sport team.
You're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I know it. But then at the end of the year or end of the quarter or so, those employees then take that pot of money and they decide which nonprofit they want to give back to and help support. And, you know, it's a big commitment on the employees to pay, but it's also maybe a little bit of help for the nonprofit that they choose.
So that's one example, I guess, of local interest and local control, right? I mean, where you've got actually at a branch manager level, you've got some things happening with local deserving nonprofits. That's pretty cool.
Sure. Well, they certainly know our branch managers, our commercial lenders at branch level. They know the customers better. They know the communities better than I will know. Fortunately, our leadership team in Tupelo, they also recognize that the decisions can be made locally, and we know the market better, so they allow us to do that.
Again, we've got small businesses as listeners. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the services that you offer relative to the bigger banks, because I think sometimes there's a misconception that bigger banks have a technological sophistication that smaller banks don't have. You mentioned treasury services as one example of things of a service you offer that has a lot of sophistication to it, I think, right?
Sure. We have to have that in order to be competitive today. Certainly within businesses, depending on that level of sophistication and how far and wide that business may stretch, there may be some products we may not offer. But I say for 95% of the businesses, we do offer the treasury management, the investment overnight services. If a customer is interested in locking in a long-term low interest rate, we have those products that we can offer as well. The difference is, John, I think we get to really sit down with the owner and decide what it is that's important to them and what is the financial objectives they're trying to achieve. And then we'll come back with an option. Maybe a lockbox makes sense if they have a high volume of account of checks being sent to their branch or to their particular office. Maybe a remote deposit capture product may be a better solution for them. So again, it's sitting down, understanding what their need is, and then crafting that solution.
Our guest is Kenneth Davis with Renaissance Bank here on North Fulton Business Radio. Ken, for those that would like to find out more about your bank, about your services, about your products, where can they get that information? And also, if you want to share any contact information for the local branch, feel free to do that as well.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, you can find us at www.renaissancebank.com. We also have a Facebook page at Renaissance Bank, and you can also find us on Twitter at Renaissance.
Great. Well, Ken, thank you for joining us here on the show.
Thank you, Mike.
Great to meet you.
Thank you.
All right. I want to remind everybody that Faratech is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer that also sells and services all leading brands of toner, printers, copiers, and computer hardware. Faratech has certified service technicians that provide on-site service and a delivery team that offers free local delivery and pickup 5 days a week. For more information, visit Faratech. That's Faratech, Faratech. .com. Our next guest here on the program is with Rev Demand. She is the Chief Business Development Officer, Tara
Lamboli.
Lamboli. You know, we've had her on before, and I probably messed it up back then, Tara, as well. probably your first and last name.
And she came back anyway.
And you still came back. So either you really like us or you're crazy, one or the other. But thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mike.
Tell us all about Rev Demand and what your company does.
Thank you. Well, Rev Demand, we generate leads, plain and simple.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today, Tara.
That was quick.
All right. When you say generate leads, what are you talking about?
Sure, sure. Well, we kind of straddle that line between marketing and sales. So we're not a pure marketing agency. We're not a, you know, outsourced selling group.
All right. All right. Then what are you? Get to the point. No. I'm sorry.
Patience is a virtue.
I obviously don't have. I'm hungry.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Okay. So take one.
Take one. Okay. Yeah. Let's start over. So what we focus on is that business development component, that prospecting component that is so challenging for so many small businesses. So what we do is we look at what their resources are and what we can do most cost effectively. Typically, it's email marketing, it's webinar marketing, maybe some direct mail, maybe some calling, but a kind of a multi-prong approach to generating new business for that B2B services company.
Okay, Tara, I want to get at a, because I'm familiar with your work, and I want to get at something that's near and dear to your heart, if you don't mind, and that's the difference between sales and marketing, right? I think we need to start there, don't we?
Yes, yes. Yes.
So talk a little bit about that and why you're so passionate about that subject.
John loves to throw this one out to me.
Well, it's pretty important, right? I mean, it seriously, because a lot of businesses just don't see how important the difference is, and particularly in terms of managing their people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'll say from my own experience that several times I was almost hired, tried to be hired, or was hired to do both roles. And I'll just put out a PSA for small businesses. Please don't do that. It's not a good idea.
And when you say both roles, sales
and marketing.
And marketing.
Yes.
Some people think they're one and the same.
Right. They do. Absolutely.
Wait, you're here to tell me that they're not one and the same.
They are not one and the same, Mike.
Explain yourself.
So marketing is all about, you know, qualifying that prospect and letting people know, hey, we're here, we're here, we're here. Either you're doing it in a bold, you know, look at us, or you're doing more of what they call inbound, where you're kind of putting out content, having people go out and get it and seeing you as the expert and then kind of finding out more about your brand. But in any case, it's all about qualifying. So then you get to the sales side of it. And sales is all about persistence and about follow-up and about getting the deal, closing the deal. So they're two very differently motivated individuals. They have different ways of measuring performance. So if you have someone that's carrying a quota and you want them to work on a newsletter, that's a really tough situation to be in. Because if it's me, I'm going to go earn the commission. I'm not going to sit there and work on putting together, laying out a newsletter, because it's just not in the same sort of skill set.
So let me clarify. If I'm reading between the lines, you're saying if people do all this marketing and advertising, the sales don't just automatically come. You still actually have to go get the sales.
You absolutely do.
See, some people that run businesses, I don't think they know that.
They don't know that.
They spend all this money on advertising, and then they want those initials, ROI, return on investment. Okay, well, what are you doing on the sales side to go ahead and, as you say, follow up and work it?
Yeah, you need someone that can do that. You need someone with that skill set that's going to be able to follow it up, go after it, and be proactive and stay in touch. And if you say you're going to follow up in 3 months, follow up in 2.5 months. You know, don't have that person that is not comfortable with that role. And a lot of, you know, marketing types, that's really not what they want to do.
And then on the flip side, we shouldn't have salespeople trying to generate their own leads. Is that what I hear you saying as well?
Yeah, salespeople should not be writing their own copy. You don't want them to reinvent your brand on the fly, because they will. that's the flip side of it, is you need to have someone that can consistently manage the messaging and the brand and be consistent about it. And that's not a salesperson. That's not their thing.
Tara, what you're really offering a small business is you're offering to be take on a lot of their marketing and lead generation functions, right?
Correct.
So let's be clear about what you bring to the table for small businesses.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to set up that salesperson. Now, whether it's the business owner, whether it's the business owner or whether it's an actual salesperson within the organization, we want to set them up for success. So in the case I mentioned before where I was trying to be hired to do marketing sales, a lot of times they didn't have any kind of plan for how I was going to get those sales. It was just, well, you're in sales, so here's a stack of business cards and have fun with that. That's not really a plan for success. And a business owner that's good at what they do, but maybe is not comfortable in a sales role, they don't really know how to manage that person either or help them. So what we try to do is come in there and say, we're going to create this engine that's going to drive the lead generation, the prospecting into the sales process. And the salesperson kind of takes it from there. It turns it into revenue for your company.
So talk a little bit about the tools that you use to generate those leads, right? Whether that's email marketing, what have you. Talk about what you bring to the table and what you recommend.
Sure. Great question. So typically it is a lot of email marketing. It's cost effective for the small business that doesn't have a huge marketing budget. We usually don't talk to them about some real expensive advertising or PR, things like that. There's a place for that. But usually where a good place to start is with their existing database of contacts and going and actually touching them, talking to them, communicating to them, saying, hey, we're here. Here's what we're doing. Here's how we can help. Educate. And so we do a ton of email marketing. We do webinar marketing, which is also another cost-effective marketing strategy for small businesses. We do some direct mail. We usually do it as a coordinated campaign, though. We'll do a direct mail piece followed by a phone call, followed by an email. So it's coordinated, and you're hitting people in different ways because people respond to different things.
An actual plan. That sounded like a plan.
Exactly, which is another thing a lot of small businesses don't have when it comes to marketing.
No, what's the old saying? Nobody fails to plan, but they plan to fail.
Absolutely.
Or did I just mess that up? Did I just pull a George W. Bush?
I think you got it.
No, you got it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This time anyway. This is a rarity. We're talking with Tara with Rev Demand. Talk about the kind of companies and industries that you serve, that at least Rev Demand serves.
Okay, thanks. Well, typically we are working with B2B companies, B2B services companies, because they are it's the environment I came out of, first of all. But secondly, it's tough because you don't have a product necessarily. And sometimes your prospective market doesn't really know why they need it, what you do. So you have to educate them. And it's a process. It's not a transactional, quick hit, you know, high volume, low revenue. Usually it's the expected customer value is pretty high. And so you don't need a huge volume, but you do need a consistent, qualified volume of prospects coming in the door. So it's typically your IT services, engineering services, financial advisors, staffing. There's a wide variety of B2B services.
Okay, so as a follow-up to that, do you have a story you can share? Maybe one of those industries or companies you worked with and maybe talk about how they saw a rise in sales or however they were, you know, grading success.
Sure. Well, we had a company that was providing a service to banks, actually. They had a huge database. They had 20,000 plus names in their database, which was great from the outside, but they weren't doing anything with it. They had these local sales reps going to events, going to shows, and they were collecting these names, but then they weren't touching them again. So all these potential customers were just sort of sitting there, and they weren't even touching their existing customers that often. So what we did is we came in and said, look, we can do that background work for you, for your sales reps, because these guys are highly qualified. They've been in the business a lot of years. They don't need to be spending time either cold calling or, you know, just wasting time with prospects that were tire kickers, that kind of thing. Let us do that part with marketing. We'll qualify them up to the point where it really makes sense to engage your highly qualified salespeople. So what we did is we started sending out marketing campaigns, just educating them. Here's what we do. We had a different message for banks versus other types of financial institutions. You know, we started generating all these demos for the sales reps to do and meetings for the sales reps. We also engaged a telemarketer as well to follow up on the emails. But all of a sudden, they started seeing all this rise in not only activity, but in closed business every month because they were actually doing something. We didn't add one contact to their database. It was just all with what they already had. So that was a huge win for them.
Well, but in listening to that story, though, Tara, I have to ask, because I know a lot of people are probably thinking this, hey, I get all this email. You mean email marketing really works, that I can really break through all the noise that occurs in everyone's inbox.
Mm-hmm. It does seem that way. I know people think like, oh my gosh, I get so many emails a day already. But it actually still works. It's still effective. And I don't have my numbers with me, but it shows that there's, you know, there's still a highly, there's still a high percentage of people who will, even if they don't open your email, I tell clients this all the time, just seeing your name in the inbox has value to it, even if they don't open it, because it's just John Ray. Oh, yeah. I haven't talked to him in a while. Huh.
Don't know if that one will get open, but anyway.
But, you know, it's top of mind, top of mind, top of mind. That's really the key to anything, to any of this, you know, lead generation and branding that we do.
But it sounds like if you've got a reputation maybe for educating, then you're giving people more incentive to open your email, right?
Right. Yeah, we're not hard selling them. Right. That's usually with B2B services, it's not a hard sell. It's a educate, 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 educate.
So let's get to webinars though, because I suspect this is what I would be thinking. What if I give a webinar and nobody comes? isn't that bad?
Are you talking from experience, John?
Well, yes, but yes, because I'm asking Tara for myself here as much as anybody. So talk to us about that fear.
That's a valid fear that many people have about doing webinars. But I'll tell you, it's still less expensive than renting out a hotel conference room and no one shows up. Still, I mean,
good
it's
point.
Much, much, much better to have that happen. But the purpose of engaging someone like RevDemand is to avoid that situation, because a lot of us think, well, you know, if I build it, they will come kind of thing. You know, if I have a presentation, everyone will show up. But your forte may not be promotion. Well, mine is. So what we've done is put together a whole package, ready-to-go webinar services, where we take it all the way from concept through practicing and making our presentation effective to promoting it adequately to get the butts in the seats, which is the worry that you're talking about, and then following it up. That's the other piece that often gets dropped, falls through the cracks, is we have a nice call to action maybe in the presentation, and no one ever follows up on it.
So it's more than just putting that content out there. It's actually setting it up, then following up. And that's really where it sounds like people fall down on the task.
Yeah. It's easy to, because you get focused on the presentation itself. But we look at all the pieces surrounding it and let you focus on what makes you shine. And that's the content right there.
That's why you need RevDemand.
That's right.
Well, for those that would like to find out more and look into your services, where can they go?
Thank you. It's RevDemand, RevDemand.com. And we're at RevDemand on Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook as well.
Pretty simple stuff.
Seems clear to me.
Tara, thank you for coming by and talking all about RevDemand here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
John?
Thanks, Tara. And let's talk about North Point Executive Suites, who's expanding. They're doing so well, they're expanding. Mike. So, and the reason is they provide office and virtual solutions to fit every business need. With flexible terms and technology-enhanced turnkey offices, you'll enjoy all-inclusive rentals without hidden add-on charges. Meeting and conference room space is also available. Their service is second to none. Visit their privately owned locations in Alpharetta or Duluth and see for yourself. Visit NorthPointExecutiveSuites.com. At North Point Executive Suites, we position you for success.
You know why they're expanding, don't you?
But we're just bringing all sorts
Business
of folks
Radio
in here.
X. Right. The people are hearing about it. They're coming here, just like why Roswell Infinity can't keep the cars on the lot.
We have to claim victory, right?
Absolutely. Take it where we can get it. Again, from the Roswell Infinity Studio, this is North Fulton Business Radio. Mike and John here. We also, by the way, for the first time, we had choicestoyou.com deliver us lunch today, and they brought it from Jersey Mike's off of Old Milton Parkway. They've got some sandwiches over there. Our next guest, Brad, had a sandwich already. I had a sandwich. You had,
I had a sandwich.
Hopefully,
yep.
Ken and Tara will have one as soon as the show's over. They didn't want to have one before the show because they were, you know, get stuck in your teeth and things like that, and you can't talk and things like that. But it is really good sandwiches, chips, which I didn't have the chips. You don't want to have that during the show.
No, you don't want to crunch on the chips.
And cookies, which we will definitely have. And if you don't want any of the cookies, that's fine. It's more for us, right, John?
That's right.
But Jersey Mike's is just one of gosh, dozens and dozens and dozens of restaurants that if you don't want to go out, mm-hmm. you just want to stay home after a long day and you want to have the food brought to you, and you're kind of tired of the pizza delivery thing.
Right.
You could pick your favorite restaurant. Go to choicestoyou.com. They've got all the restaurants listed there, all the menus. You pick what you want, and they deliver it right to your doorstep.
And they have a professional that brings it in a insulated bag, as opposed to maybe some of these newfangled services we're reading about, right?
Exactly.
So that's really pretty nice. Yep. And I also understand it's not just at the end of the day. It's at the beginning of the day if you want breakfast, right?
So, yeah. And they cater for breakfast, and they cater during any time.
Yeah.
So they also do catering. So it's choicestoyou.com. Our thanks to Tom for not only supporting this show, but of course, the owner of the company actually delivered the food today.
Can't beat that.
That's right. So
it was certainly nice to show up and have some food waiting on me. That was
yes.
good stuff.
That's a nice surprise, because I don't think our guests had no idea.
Right.
We aim to please.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you're hearing the voice of Brad Camp with Talos Consulting. And Brad, you are the president and CEO. And I had a roast beef sandwich earlier. I don't know what you had over there.
I think it was pastrami. It was good.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm doing the pastrami next then. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Jersey Mike's and Old Milton Parkway. So, Brad, again, welcome to the program. Talos Consulting. We hear the name consulting all the time. What kind of consulting does your business do?
It's IT security consulting. Specifically, we're trying to help people protect their critical data and their systems from the bad guys. You hear the term cybersecurity, you hear it all the time. You hear about it in the election. You hear about it on the news on almost a weekly basis. That's our specialty and our focus. So, that's what we help our customers protect against, are those cyber threats. We really focus in three different areas. There is an offensive side, a defensive side, and a compliance side.
If you said special teams, I was thinking, offense, defense, and special teams.
Yeah, Mike thinks he's at 92.9 right now.
Thinking football.
You're right.
Okay. Well, it's a lot like special teams. Some of this area is so specialized that small businesses, even medium and large businesses, don't have the expertise to do this kind of thing themselves.
You see what Brad did right there? That was good.
That was very good.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. So three kinds.
Yeah. Yeah. So the offensive side is, that's your ethical hacking. That's where companies hire us to try to break into their systems to expose where the weaknesses are so that we can help them fix the weaknesses.
Say that again. They hire you and they want you to try to hack into the system.
That's right.
So you can find the weak.
We do it before the bad guy does. So in that process, we help them identify where those flaws are. And then we offer, there's a report after every one of those offensive engagements that lists out the discoveries that we found and the remediations that, our recommendation basically to fix that issue. So the offensive side is, it's just that. It's pure attack, okay? And that feeds into many other components in the business. It feeds into the defensive side, because you start talking about defense, you start talking about protecting the systems, but you don't always have the luxury of attacking them first. Some people don't have the budget to pay for this really large offensive engagement. So what happens with the way we've got it structured is, because we're always attacking people and looking at it on almost a weekly basis from that attacker's viewpoint, that feeds into what we do from a defensive perspective. So if you hire me to say, secure one of your systems, I know what the bad guy's looking for already. And I'm going to approach it differently than the standard consultant would, because I'm the one that's, in the engagement right before you, I probably was breaking into that system. So I know where the holes are. Sometimes even before the vendors do or have the opportunity to patch. So on the defensive side, there's a fair amount of auditing that we do as well. So it's not just building new infrastructure or re-engineering infrastructure, it's auditing what you have and offering those recommendations to strengthen things and reduce the risk profile. Even simple things like, we will go into a company and we'll educate them on how to prevent ransomware, or, gauge what their risk tolerance for for getting ransomware is, for having some malware or rootkit installed on their system. We work with small and medium businesses across the U.S., but we are based right here in North Atlanta. I'm actually a native Atlantan, one of the few left. So I was born and raised in Roswell.
Oh, Ken raised his hand. So we actually have two native Atlantans in the studio at the same time.
We've got all two in the studio right now.
Yeah. Trey, take a bunch of pictures. This is a rarity right here.
Well, so Brad, talk though to what I suspect a lot of businesses are thinking, which is, hey, that sounds great that there are all these attacks and there are all these bad guys out there, but I'm too small to be a target. Even if I'm a medium-sized business, I'm too small to be a target. Out of all those big corporations and governments, those are who the hackers are really after. Respond to that thought.
Yeah, well, I get that a lot, actually. I think the answer is always, it depends. You know, that's the consultant in me, right? There's a variable answer. Okay. So it depends on what data you're trying to protect and what you're doing to try to protect it. You know, the bad guys, the hackers that are out there, a lot of times they are targeting the smaller companies because they know they don't have the resources to defend against them. You know, they can't detect that they've been breached. If they have been breached, they don't have the resources or the knowledge to know what to do after the fact. So, you know, as opposed to going against a medium or a large business where they have teams that are dedicated to doing nothing more than keeping the bad guys out and monitoring the systems on a daily basis. Sometimes that isn't even enough. I mean, you look at the really high profile breaches here recently, or at least in the past couple of years, take two, like Target and Home Depot. They have teams where they have do nothing but sit there and look for the bad guys to break in. And they still didn't get detected until after it was too late. So the small guy, you know, the small, medium-sized business, they don't have that team of people. You know, if they're lucky, the guy that's doing the accounting and is running the business and maybe doing the marketing and the sales, to throw those both back in the same bucket, is also the same guy that's doing the IT. And he doesn't know what to look for. So in a lot of ways, the little guy is more of a target just because the bad guy knows that he can get away with it.
That was going to be my next question. I think he kind of answered it. You know, what do you say to that company? He's got the guy down in the corner office, Alvin, down there. Well, I got an IT guy. I don't need your services.
Right.
Well, he doesn't obviously have the experience or know maybe what you know as far as what they're looking for.
Yeah. And, you know, especially in small business, the hat rack that's on the wall for the IT guy is probably the length of at least one wall. You know, he takes off his Outlook hat and puts on his email hat. And then he takes off that hat and he puts on his, you know, Exchange server hat or his Active Directory hat. He flops around between all these different technologies. The same guy may be fixing the door when it falls off the hinges, or who knows what else he's responsible for, right? So the specialty of this is it's so specific that unless you're in it every day and you're keeping pace with the new threats and the trends that are emerging, you're going to fall behind. And that's where we come in. We keep pace with the industry and with the emerging threats in a lot of ways, faster than even some of the software providers can react to them. So we know how to tell you to prevent things in many cases before they can even be patched, if it's, for instance, a software problem.
And to piggyback on what John was asking about, you know, well, does my company's too small or not big enough or someone's going to hack? I've heard folks in your shoes say there are people, if you don't think someone's trying to hack your company, whatever, you're naive. The numbers are amazing. Like every couple seconds, people are trying to get into, and I don't know if you know any numbers top of your head, but I mean, I don't think people realize how big of a threat it is out there.
Well, you know, education is a big piece of that. You know, knowing what the threat is and knowing what your risk profile is, that's huge. Now, you talk about people, you know, at every second, okay? Well, at a small business, there's a potential that you have large numbers of transactions hitting your external firewall on a minute-by-minute basis. You know, I've personally have seen hundreds of thousands in an hour. With some of the customers that I deal with. And most of those are just automated, they call them bots, okay? They're automated systems that are out there scanning for open ports, looking for stuff that are targets of opportunity, low-hanging fruit that can easily be exploited so somebody can weed their way in. You take something, though, that I mentioned a minute ago, ransomware. So it's fairly easy for someone to go out on the internet into one of these into the dark web or into a website and download a kit that gives them everything they need to execute a ransomware attack against a target. You know, if you've got a 12-year-old, they could be sitting in your basement over the summer doing this kind of thing and collecting money from that. You know, it's almost productized to the point where you don't have to know what you're doing to attack people. There are whole suites of tools built around that type of process.
So, and I think I've heard about an attack like this on an Atlanta medical clinic, let's call it, here in the last couple of weeks, that basically they got shut down and they got a notice from the bad guys that you whip out your credit card and put so much, you know, $25,000 on the credit card and we'll free you up. Is what I just described a ransomware scheme?
It is, yeah. The general premise there is that some piece of malicious software is going to take control of an asset and block your ability to use that asset. And then they're going to ask you for a ransom. Usually that ransom is in the form of an electronic currency like Bitcoin, okay, that's very, very hard to track, okay? You need to have a strategy for dealing with those types of things. You know, there's a process you can go through to evaluate how susceptible you are to those attacks, not only for that ransomware coming into your organization, which generally it comes in through email. Now, there's an email that's sent into you with an attachment. Hey, here's the cutest cat picture on the internet. And some poor guy clicks on that. And then it either infects all the files on your system and encrypts them so that you can't open them, or denies you access to use your workstation. And you're stuck with a, hey, I've got to pay to get this unlocked. Well, the last thing you want to do is pay. You want to have a plan for how you react when that happens. You want to harden your defenses ahead of time to make sure that when somebody's trying to get that information into your organization, that your email's set up correctly, that you're filtering at the levels you need to be filtering at, that your backups are set up correctly so that you can restore if you have an event. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do, it's kind of contradictory to, some of it's simple. Some of it is just really, really simple steps that you can put in place that can prevent those types of things. So we do a lot of work with people where we go in and we just gauge how ready they are for getting hit with something like ransomware. Because, John, that could happen to you personally as easily as it could happen to a medium or a large business.
So let's talk about the kind of clients you work with, the ones that are great fits for you.
Yeah, sure. So my background is in the energy sector. So I have a lot of customers that are electric utilities. That's good for me. I love working with that segment because they're all small town, rural areas. There's a certain attitude they have towards how they want to interact with their vendors and their customers. And I carry that through into my business. You know, I like to treat them, treat all my customers the way I've kind of been conditioned to treat my cooperative clients. And by the way, that's my background. I did 16 years with energy. So protecting critical data there for people is something that's, you know, close to my heart. You know, my clients range from that energy sector to aviation companies. I've got software firms that I work with, CPA firms, lawyers' offices, legal offices, healthcare industry, you know, small and medium business. And it's not just localized to the Atlanta area, although I really like the personal touch of going to the office and actually sitting down with the CEO or sitting down with, you know, with the COO and talking through their challenges. So I really like working in the Atlanta area, but we have clients as far west as Alaska.
We're talking with Brad Camp with Talos Consulting here on North Fulton Business Radio. I want to bring Ken back into the conversation, if I could, Ken, throwing a little bit of a curveball here. But as an executive at a bank today, financially, transactions are done, everything's done electronically and over computers. I'm sure, obviously, you're listening with a lot of intent to what Brad's saying right now, because I know this is something that's very important to you. You've got to protect all your clients, all your customers, and their finances. So that's a lot of pressure.
Well, there is, and you're right. That's a big threat we face today. As Mike says, as a big company, we have a team that's all they do. And we are hit on thousands of times daily. We also face fraud within the branches, individuals not only presenting bad checks, which is a big issue today, but there are areas where there's fraud in the electronic transfer of monies to and from our bank. So, yeah, we're faced with that daily.
You hear a lot about the CFO fraud, getting an email from the CEO saying, hey, you need to wire me this money to this offshore account because we just made a deal with this particular business. My customers deal with that.
And it's always a moving target. And thank you, Ken. Always a moving target as well. I mean, the technology's changing every day, not every minute.
Absolutely, yeah. That's why people need to hire experts like Talos Consulting, that they really have the specialty in those particular areas. Because even as a large business, if you don't have a team dedicated to it, it's really difficult to stay on top of how fast it moves.
Great. Well, Brad, for those that would like to find out more about your services and look into maybe hiring your company, give us some more information on where they can find that information.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to our website. It's talosconsulting.net.
And Talos is T-A-L-O-S.
Correct. Or I'd love for you to call me. You know, you can get a hold of me directly at 678-757-3484.
Great. Brad, thank you for coming by.
Yeah, thank you.
Brad Camp, the president and CEO of Talos Consulting here on North Fulton Business Radio. Also, again, a big thank you to Ken Davis with Renaissance Bank and Tara Lambouli.
Lambouli.
No, Lambouli. It's Halloween. I did the Halloween thing. She shook her head like, oh my God. But no, I was actually doing that on purpose because I was going to mess it up anyway. So I just made it a Halloween theme. It's called marketing. So yeah, you market yourself for Halloween. All right.
I think you need to hire Tara.
I do. I
would suggest.
And her first job of consulting me is stop with the dumb jokes.
Yeah, that might take a while, though.
All right. Save me, John.
Yeah. So let's talk about Apex Signs and Graphics because they help make our studio look great. And they also provide unique commercial outdoor signage, indoor signage, vehicle wraps, and graphics like what we enjoy here. They also offer large format printing services. They work with customers nationwide, as well as customers in Fulton, Cobb, Cherokee, Forsyth, and Gwinnett counties. For more information, go to apexsignsga.com.
Great, John. Well, again, thank you to choicestoyou.com. Let's eat. We got some Jersey Mike's from Old Milton Parkway, sandwiches and chips and cookies and good things like that. So we'll eat away as soon as this show is over. I want to thank Trey Odom as well, one of our producers, and John and all our guests. And let's do this again next Tuesday. What do you say?
Man, if food is coming from Choices to You, I'm here.
All right. For next, what we're not doing? What? I'm not here next Tuesday. Where am I now? We'll do it.
You're taking marketing lessons.
I'm fired because is Steve and Julian going to be in my seat next week?
Steven's going to be here next week. So,
okay. I'll be here the Tuesday after that if I'm not fired.
That's right.
All right.
If Tara lets you come.
Yeah. All right. All right. For everybody involved, let's just end the show now. We will see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Executive Suites, we provide office and virtual solutions to fit every business need. And technology-enhanced turnkey offices, you'll enjoy all-inclusive rates without hidden add-on charges. Meeting and conference room space is also available. Our service is second to none. Visit our privately owned locations in Alpharetta or Duluth and see for yourself. Call us at 678-242-5200 or visit northpointexecutivesuites.com. At North Point Executive Suites, we position you for success.